When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to the Beyond the Pearls podcast, based on the Morning Report series from Elsevier. This podcast has been adapted for audio in collaboration with series editor Dr. Raj Dasgupta, as well as the volume editor for each book. Each episode features an in-depth case dissection format and aims to deliver practical, concise, and easy-to-digest information. And now, here's today's episode.
So let's talk about section four, part four, when we talk about hypersomnias. And what's going to be part of this module, we're going to talk about the treatment of narcolepsy and idiopathic hypersomnia. So let's start off with the vignette. So we have a 24-year-old woman presents with several years of excessive daytime sleepiness associated with bilateral lower extremity weakness precipitated by laughter. Stop right there. What are they talking about? Sounds like they're talking about classic cataplexy. This is going to be emotions and it's laughter, and you have weakness of the lower extremities, that buckling of the knees. Her typical bedtime is 10 p.m. with a subjective total sleep time of 8 hours on most nights. She has no medical problems and takes no medications. Following a relatively normal overnight PSG and MSLT, demonstrated a mean sleep latency of 3 minutes. So definitely less than 8 minutes. This definitely is on the right track to making the diagnosis of narcolepsy, with three sleep onset REM periods out of the four possible naps, you know? And I think in this case, you know, usually you could do almost five naps, but because they had three sleep onset REM periods already, they didn't want to push it all the way to five naps in this case. And of course, you know, this supported the diagnosis of narcolepsy. All right, where's this going? Therapy with modafinil, 200 milligrams taken each morning, is initiated, and later is increased to 400 milligrams each morning. After 4 weeks of therapy, she continues having significant residual daytime sleepiness, as well as having cataplexy. Which of the following could you recommend to better treat the patient's symptoms? You know, and what are going to be my choices here? Well, number one, we could increase the modafinil to 400 milligrams from once a day to twice a day dosing. So this is going to be 800 milligrams of modafinil. Now, that's going to be the wrong answer. For the main reason is they're really kind of testing you on dosing. And really, the maximum dose of modafinil is 400 milligrams. Definitely when you have patients with narcolepsy or idiopathic hypersomnia, they usually tend to break it out. That's going to be convenient for them. But they're already on the max dose of 400. I wouldn't increase that. And also, this patient has what? Has cataplexy. And, you know, giving more stimulant is not going to be the answer to address the cataplexy. So A looks like the wrong answer. B, why don't we add a methamphetamine or dextroamphetamine to the modafinil? Well, the answer is no, I wouldn't do that for one reason. It says the patient has cataplexy, and giving stimulant and more stimulant is not going to address the cataplexy. Add something called sodium oxybate. We'll talk about that. It goes by the brand name Xyrem. This is going to be a medication that definitely got the FDA approval for not only excessive daytime sleepiness, but also to treat the cataplexy, which this patient has. You know, it's not a stimulant per se. It helps out with excessive daytime sleepiness through a different mechanism of action. But this is definitely a good consideration here, because you're addressing both the cataplexy and the EDS. And last is going to be choice D, adding sustained release or extended release stimulants. And for the same reason, stimulants don't address the excessive daytime, the cataplexy. So the only one of these that's going to address the cataplexy is what? Choice C. So let's dive into that. So when we, and as I mentioned here, you know, gamma sodium oxybate is FDA approved for the core symptoms of narcolepsy, including cataplexy. So let's break down what are going to be our pharmacological choices when treating narcolepsy. So when we talk about the EDS, we could use things like modafinil. So when we talk about modafinil, one of the main ways as it works is going to be increasing levels of dopamine. When you want to give modafinil, brand name Providrol, well, you want to be careful to make sure the patient isn't sulfa allergic. And one of the main things I worry about these individuals are going to be talking about skin reactions. So the minute you say rash modafinil, everyone always thinks about the worst case scenario, which is going to be a Stevens-Johnson syndrome. We definitely don't want that. And this is one of the main reasons when we talk about treatment of pediatrics that we don't use things like modafinil and armodafinil up front because of the higher incidence of Stevens-Johnson's in kids. When you give modafinil, couple of things that jump to mind. Of course, when you give it to women, you want to make sure they're on birth control for a variety of reasons. Number one, it's teratogenic. So if they're taking an estrogen product, and that's when we worry about the most, it will decrease the efficacy of estrogen. And if they do get pregnant, it's definitely teratogenic. So you want to inform patients about this. And in most cases for board exams, they need to be on two forms of birth control, not just the estrogen, not just avoiding estrogen products, which is going to be why it's so crucial to be talking to your OB-GYN or the primary care health provider providing the birth control, but trying to avoid estrogen products, and maybe be on a second form of birth control also. Modafinil can cause some nausea, some GI upset. It definitely can cause some headaches. You know, that's why we slowly sometimes want to titrate up the dose. But most of these things are going to go away. You know, it is a stimulant. So I'm always going to ask about, you know, their weight. Are they losing weight? I'm always going to ask about their heart rate and their blood pressure. So these are going to be very important things. So modafinil is usually given twice a day. And you know, depending upon when the patient needs it, they're going to break up their dose, but 400 milligrams is going to be the top dose. Armodafinil, who goes by the brand name Nuvigil, is going to be a once daily dosing. You know, I think the downside of this medication is that you can't, you know, break it down or cut it or take it in different settings where if they need it more in the morning, less in the afternoon. But if you have someone who has, you know, a set pattern and when they need to have their alertness and they want to have a once daily dosing drug, this is going to be something to consider with the same side effect profile, asking about birth control in women, always worrying about sulfa allergic people also. Then we get to things such as, you know, dextroamphetamine. These are things like Adderall. These are things like Dexedrine, things like Vyvanse. And I'm just going to throw in there things like methylphenidate. Of course, there's Ritalin, there's long-acting Ritalin. It goes by the brand name Concerta. So when we talk about dextroamphetamine and methylphenidate, yes, you know, we worry about the same side effect profiles. We worry about weight loss in these individuals. We worry about, you know, their temperament. Are they getting angry at their loved ones? We worry about tachycardia. We worry about high blood pressure. So all these things are going to be checked and evaluated when we talk about these medications. And these stimulants are definitely going to be tailored to the patient's lifestyle. And even if I don't get to mention it, I want to say that, you know, beyond just giving pharmacotherapy, of course, lifestyle modifications, cognitive behavioral therapy, sleep hygiene, all these things are going to be so important. And if I don't say it enough, napping, strategic napping is going to be so important, especially when we talk about individuals with narcolepsy. But we're just diving into what's very high yield for the boards, which is always going to be the pharmacotherapy. And the last one I put up here under treatment for excessive daytime sleepiness is solriamfetol, which goes by the brand name Sunosi. And this is going to be a medication that works on norepinephrine and dopamine. It's definitely going to be a stimulant. It's something that I would be watching for the same side effects as giving dextroamphetamine or methylphenidate in regards to high blood pressure and tachycardia. But these are going to be the pharmacological therapies when I talk about excessive daytime sleepiness for narcolepsy. And I want to have a really, really nice chart at the end where it really breaks down all these medications appropriately and how do we treat patients with narcolepsy and idiopathic hypersomnia. So what about treatment of the cataplexy? So, you know, why would you get the cataplexy is because of REM sleep. And when you have narcolepsy, it's dysregulation of sleep and wake, and you're gonna have REM sleep when they fall asleep. So we think about REM suppressant agents. So almost all antidepressants are gonna be REM suppressant. So that includes TCAs, that includes MAOIs that I mentioned were very potent suppressors of REM, probably these potent, but we don't use, you know, MAOIs and TCAs because of side effects, drug-drug interactions with MAOIs, dietary restrictions. You know, medications that we commonly use are probably be SSRIs, classically being fluoxetine, brand name Prozac, you know, but others can do it also. And of course, there are SNRIs, classic one being venlafaxine, brand name Effexor, and these are REM suppressant agents. But these are going to be treating the cataplexy, but they're not used for the excessive daytime sleepiness. So you can use REM suppressant agents. None of these agents are FDA approved for narcolepsy with cataplexy. But other options when we talk about treating the cataplexy could be the oxybates. Classic one being gamma hydroxybutyrate, you know, which is sodium oxybate, which goes by the brand name Xyrem, which is one of the first line agents that we use in the treatment of cataplexy, as well as the excessive daytime sleepiness. There are other oxybates out there also that we're going to be diving into. There's low sodium oxybates that we're going to be talking about. And just to give you a preview of what's to come, there are once nightly oxybates that are recently FDA approved and will soon be in clinical practice. The last category of drug when we talk about treating cataplexy is going to be a first in class, which is going to be pitolisant, which is going to be a histamine agonist. So of course, when we talk about histamine, it's going to be a alerting neurotransmitter. So if you're going to activate the receptors, it's going to keep you more alert. And pitolisant goes by the brand name Wakix, you know, got the FDA approval, not only for excessive daytime sleepiness, but for cataplexy. So in summary, how do you treat cataplexy? REM suppressant agents, oxybates, or pitolisant would be the options that you could use. And we're going to dive deeper into these meds coming up. So how do you decide, you know, among medications for cataplexy? So I put into words things that I mentioned already. So when you consider using what? Antidepressants, which are going to be up here, is that they only treat the cataplexy, not the sleepiness. So they're really not preferred for those desiring monotherapy because you're only addressing the cataplexy. You know, of course, they may have a dual therapeutic benefit if you're trying to address people who have depression also. And that's always going to be something that we work out with our psychiatrists. Oxybates, and I use it now as a category because there are other ones out there besides sodium oxybate, you know, treat both the cataplexy and the sleepiness. And of course, you know, people with narcolepsy are going to have that disrupted nocturnal sleep, multiple arousals and awakenings throughout the night. This will be a medication that can address that. You know, to prescribe an oxybate, you have to be on the REMS program, and we'll talk about that. And you need to consider a lot of the safety issues when you're on this medication. And we're going to do a deeper dive into oxybates in 1 second. You know, you could have serious interactions with sedating medications. And of course, you could use this with a lot of sedating medications. Do not combine this with alcohol. I would not use an oxybate in people with underlying lung disease, whether it's going to be asthma or COPD or cystic fibrosis or pulmonary fibrosis, because of the respiratory drive. And it can cause or worsen depression. These are things that need to be evaluated when choosing the right medication for the right patient. And rarely can it cause suicidality. Pitolisant, you know, treats both the cataplexy and excessive daytime sleepiness. It's the only unscheduled FDA-approved narcolepsy treatment, which makes it very unique and very good for patients that they're not controlled substances. They're easy to prescribe. They are an inducer of cytochrome P450, the 3A4. And just like when we're talking about, you know, interactions, such as when we talked about modafinil earlier, there's interaction with hormone contraception due to reduced effectiveness. And we do encourage use of alternative, additional, you know, contraceptives. And for 21 days after discontinuing the medication. So when they're on the medication, they definitely have to use it. And even after they discontinue the medication, they should still stay on it for an additional 21 days as per the label of the medication. And one of the good things is that, you know, pitolisin did not cause worsening depression in individuals. It didn't cause or worsen depression in clinical trials. So let's dive deep into Xyrem. So when we talk about, you know, sodium oxybate, you know, its byproduct is gamma. Sodium oxybate is a byproduct of gamma hydroxybutyrate. And when we talk about GHB, that GHB in the olden days was used for bodybuilding. It actually is something that increases non-REM sleep, and not specifically just non-REM, N3. So N3, which is part of non-REM. And because it increases N3, which is slow wave sleep and delta sleep, you're going to get more growth hormone that gets released. And so bodybuilders used to use a lot of GHB. Of course, we all remember it for what really horrible things people did when we talk about, you know, unfortunately, things like date rape when we talk about GHB. But when we talk about sodium oxybate, many people ask, well, how does this medication keep you alert when it technically is going to be knocking you out? And the way I like to explain it is that it works on the GABA B receptor, B as in boy. And what happens is that the theory and how it works is that when you activate the GABA B receptor is that, you know, it prevents the release of things like dopamine and norepinephrine. You're still making it, you're just not releasing it. And of course, you know, when we talk about, you know, sodium oxybate, it has a short half-life, which is why you have to dose it twice throughout the night. So what happens is, you know, in the morning after the second dose, when you release that inhibition, you get a robust release of a lot of dopamine and norepinephrine, which is why it helps out with the excessive daytime sleepiness. You know, this medication is not for everyone. You have to be very careful. It's a drug of abuse, but definitely you take it twice a night. You have to slowly titrate up the dose. Even though the top dose is 9 grams, not everyone's going to tolerate that based upon their, you know, their BMI and their other comorbidities. And you find out what's going to be the right dose for them. When you take this medication, you definitely have to drink lots of water. It's called sodium oxybate, so you're definitely going to be thirsty. I encourage my patients to carry water on them to really hydrate. But with that being said, you know, when you go to bed at night, you have to make sure they don't eat, you know, 2 hours before going to bed, or a lot of drinking for reasons of taking the medication and worrying about reflux and other things. They take the medication once they're in bed. And when they wake up, it usually comes almost with an alarm clock, though many people who take this medication state that they're so used to it that they wake up again to take the second dose. And there's got to be a set amount of time before you drive any vehicle or do anything in the morning. So, of course, you mean if you miss the dose, you don't want to take it if you have to wake up right away. And, you know, there are many safety things that need to be thought about when you're prescribing this drug. I know we mentioned about depression already that can be seen, caused, and worsened in some individuals. But this is going to be talking about sodium oxybate. So Xywav, which is a brand name, is the low sodium, and it's actually a calcium, magnesium, potassium, and sodium oxybate, but it's the low sodium. It's the same dosing as talking about Xyrem, which is going to be sodium oxybate, but it has 92% less sodium. And this medication actually got the FDA approval for idiopathic hypersomnia, which is why it's so important. I'm happy we have new medications for idiopathic hypersomnia, but it's so important we make the correct diagnosis of IH, or else, once again, this is a medication that can have a lot of consequences if you don't use it with the right individual. I mentioned that when you're on a sodium oxybate type medication, you should be on the REMS program, which is a risk evaluation and mitigation strategy. This is a program to manage known or potential serious risks associated with a drug product, and it's required by the FDA to ensure that the benefits of the drug outweigh the risks of the medication. So I also hinted at the fact that there was going to be an extended release once nightly sodium oxybate. The brand name so far is called Lumryz. And it got the initial trials were in March 2020. It was called the Rest On Study. It was a randomized double-blinded placebo-controlled trial. And it recently did get FDA approved. And the key endpoints of the trials were excessive daytime sleepiness, the clinician's overall assessment of the patient's functioning, and reduction in cataplexy attacks. So now this really adds to that broader category, which we call the oxybates. And it's going to be helpful because of that once nightly dosing. So the medication we talked about under excessive daytime sleepiness was solriamfetol, goes by the brand name Sunosi, FDA approved on March 20th, 2019. Important to know for the board exams that it got the FDA approval for obstructive sleep apnea and narcolepsy. I did mention mechanism of action, which is a norepinephrine dopamine reuptake inhibitor. And just to give you some dosing starts at 37.5 milligrams to 150 milligrams daily. For narcolepsy, we usually start the 75 milligram dose, and it's increased in intervals over 3 days. And you do want to be careful with this medication in patients who have a low estimated GFR and have renal impairment. Pitolisant, brand name Wakis, FDA approved in August 15, 2019 for excessive daytime sleepiness and later approved for cataplexy. It's the only FDA approved treatment of narcolepsy that's not a controlled substance. Mechanism of action is a histamine 3 inverse agonist. And the dosing is a little complicated, but I just wanted to mention it, that you start off with this 4.45 milligram tabs and you take two of those daily for 1 week. Then you take 70.8 milligrams once daily for 1 week. Then you take the 17.8 milligrams twice daily thereafter. So it really takes up to 8 weeks to get a clinical response. You have to be patient with it. This medication was studied in patients taking Xyrem and also taking Provigil. And right now, the company is seeking FDA approval for idiopathic hypersomnia. They're in the phase 3 trial. It's called the Intune clinical trials. So stay tuned for that. So this is where I want to spend most of the time with over here. This is going to be the summary of the medications for narcolepsy. And then we'll talk about the summary of the medications for idiopathic hypersomnia. So we're going to talk about medication, mechanism of action. Does it treat sleepiness? Does it treat the cataplexy? So once again, I'm going to clump these two together, modafinil and armodafinil twice a day, armodafinil once a day. Both of these are going to be dopamine reuptake inhibitors. Both of these, be careful in people who are sulfa allergic. Both of these, be careful of women taking estrogen. It decreases the efficacy of estrogen and it's teratogenic for the fetus. Both of these can cause headaches. Both of these can cause some GI upset. And both of these treat the sleepiness. So it's good for excessive daytime sleepiness, but does not treat the cataplexy. So the vignette that we're doing today, that was the patient that was on 400 milligrams of modafinil, which is the top dose. What do you do next? We got to treat that cataplexy. And the answer over there was going to be Xyrem. Solriamfetol, which is going to be that dopamine and norepinephrine reuptake inhibitor, that this medication got the FDA approval for obstructive sleep apnea and narcolepsy. We talked about narcolepsy today. We talked about starting on a 75 milligram dose. It has all the same side effects as you're talking about traditional stimulants, and it definitely treats the excessive daytime sleepiness, but it does not treat the cataplexy. Next are going to be traditional stimulants, things like methylphenidate and amphetamines. And these are going to be dopamine and norepinephrine reuptake inhibition and the release of monoamines. So when we talk about these medications, do they treat the excessive daytime sleepiness? The answer is yes. Does it treat the cataplexy? The answer is no. And once again, with these traditional stimulants, including the ones above it, you always want to watch their weight, check their weights when they come in. They could cause weight loss, irritability, tachycardia. Of course, with all these medications, be careful in patients who have atrial fibrillation. Be careful of patients who have congestive heart failure in these cases. So these are things to take in consideration. Pitolisant. This is the histamine inverse agonist. And does it treat sleepiness? The answer is yes. Does it treat cataplexy? The answer is yes. So this is going to be a non-controlled substance. We have to do this titration. It takes almost 8 weeks to work. But once again, can't emphasize the most that it's not a controlled substance. Next is going to be the category called the oxybates. And when we talk about the oxybates, we mentioned sodium oxybate, we mentioned the low sodium oxybates, and now the ones nightly that just got approved. We mentioned that they work on the GABA-B receptor, and the reason they help out with the excessive daytime sleepiness is that it doesn't prevent the making of dopamine and norepinephrine. It just prevents the release when the medication's on you. And when the oxybate leaves your body, you get a robust release of dopamine and norepinephrine, helping out with the excessive daytime sleepiness and also treats the cataplexy. Last, you know, when we talk about SNRIs and SSRIs, these are really the two categories of antidepressants that we use. Remember, they're not FDA approved for this indication. They really work by suppressing REM, therefore they treat the cataplexy, but they're not really used when we talk about the excessive daytime sleepiness. They're really only used when we talk about the cataplexy. And now let's talk about idiopathic hypersomnia medications. You know, so let's start off with combining modafinil, armodafinil. Once again, we spoke about these medications. So for modafinil, there are two IH-specific randomized controlled trials effective for reducing excessive daytime sleepiness and increasing, the maintenance of wakefulness testing if you choose to do one versus taking placebo. It's not FDA approved, for IH. Armodafinil, presumably very similar to modafinil, but it was not studied. Solriamfetol has not been studied. Methylphenidates and amphetamines, clinical trials do suggest benefit, but once again, is not FDA approved when we talk about idiopathic hypersomnia. Pitolisant, when we talk about the histamine agonist, you know, you have ongoing clinical trials and they suggest benefit in a third of refractory idiopathic hypersomnia patients. But right now, unfortunately, because it's not FDA approved, it's really hard to access in the United States without the narcolepsy diagnosis. Oxybates, you know, we mentioned there is, you know, classic sodium oxybate, but the low sodium oxybates goes by the brand name Xywav, actually got the FDA approval for idiopathic hypersomnia, which is why it's so important to make the right diagnosis. You know, low sodium oxybate is, what a surprise, is potentially a drug of abuse, you know, and that's why knowing the correct diagnostic criteria that we discussed already is going to be so important, whether it's MSLT to make the diagnosis, whether it's going to be that 660-minute PSG to make the diagnosis, whether it's going to be the 1 week of actigraphy showing a greater than 166 minutes of sleep time per night to make the diagnosis. It's important to make the right diagnosis. And last is clarithromycin. Yes, and how does clarithromycin help out with sleepiness? It inhibits GABA. That's the presumed mechanism of action, you know? And randomized controlled trials, they're all SMILE, did show some benefits for excessive daytime sleepiness. And of course, you want to consider it carefully. You know, being on a macrolide can prolongate the QT interval. It is an antibiotic, and it's not used commonly. If it is, it's for treatment refractory patients. But I just wanted to mention this because they will like to mention it on your board exam. And with those things being said, we covered the most important things that are definitely going to be in your boards when we talk about treatment of patients with narcolepsy and idiopathic hypersomnia. And I look forward to seeing you for the next section.
Thank you for listening to the Beyond the Pearls podcast from Inside the Boards. This podcast is executive produced by Christopher Brightigan and Dr. Patrick Beeman. This podcast is intended for educational purposes only and is not medical advice. Ars longa, vita brevis.